Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
It's been a long 2 months for us anyway, but we're back for episode 6 of the Rebel Yell Podcast. Woo, woo, woo. Spencer, Peter, we're back. It feels like forever. I mean, we've seen enough of each other over the past couple of months, but we just haven't had time to sit down and chew the fat over what has been, for all the Worthing teams, a very successful couple of months, I'd say, and quite one we can look back on. Gents, how have you been doing? I mean, I'll say that to you, but the listeners, if you haven't seen you, how are you doing? Spencer?
Yeah, all good, thanks. All good, you know.
It's nice to see you back at the ground again, because obviously the last sort of podcast we had before Christmas, you were sort of so full of COVID hangovers and everything like that. You kind of hadn't really seen much of Worthing over the past month, so it's kind of like I remember you sort of said to us, is there any point in me being on the podcast? I've been to like one game, I think it was.
Love the way you throw hangovers in with COVID, as if like,
well, you're still hungover from COVID, aren't you? Still
some equal of this measure.
I think it would sound better calling it a COVID hangover rather than COVID symptoms. A COVID hangover sounds quite good. Marketing, should go to the marketing. Copyright 2022. But you're glad to be back and, you know, seeing some quite exciting and yet at times frustrating football.
Yeah, it's all good. It's good to see us beat the Bognor, weren't it? You know?
Oh, twice.
Twice, yeah. Yeah, all good. All good.
And Mr. Consistent, Peter Vale, he hasn't missed a match. His back hasn't played him up this last couple of months. He's been dining on some nice women's and men's football down at Woodside Road, home and away.
Been a busy bee match-wise, but obviously we didn't do the podcast last month because everyone was busy with commitments. And
it's been a nightmare trying to nail us all down together, hasn't it?
Yeah, over Christmas period is just a nightmare. And also trying to nail down the team, basically, to get the interviews done. So
it's been so busy, yeah. Hasn't it? Like, you know, it's been a lot of like Saturday, Tuesday.
Back-to-back games, hasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, starting off, I think we can say it's, you know, the men's team, we're still top of the league as we speak. At the moment, we have dropped some points, frustratingly at times. We'll go into that a little bit later. The women's team, you know, they're pushing up at the top end of the table in the women's league, some strong signings. It's been fantastic, you know, just the whole aura of the club and everything that's going on around there. It's just everything seems so positive. Even the youth team, you know, beating Bognor, you know, the local rivals and massive score.
11-1, was it?
Yeah,
11-1.
But, you know, the youth teams at all levels just seem to score goals for fun.
Yeah, and I think the majority of them are top of their league. So
yeah, and then you've got like in the press this week and non-league paper. Is it not John Virgo? That's it. It's not John Virgo. It's not Sam Virgo. What's his name? Virgo. It's a Virgo.
Adam Virgo.
There you go. Yeah, trick shot or Sam? No, the program editor. No, it's Adam Virgo. He's even said that, you know, clubs like non-league.
But the one
level.
About Eastleigh.
Eastleigh. That was it. Yeah.
Right. The applications are open for people to apply for the Eastleigh job. Now, this Adam Virgo has put this little tweet out, this little tweet that has caught on amongst the Worthing fans, which is like, you know, Eastleigh wouldn't do too badly to look at what Adam is doing at Worthing with the youngsters, everything, and the amount of players, obviously, we've sent to the leagues. So it's like, please don't do that, Mr. Virgo.
But isn't Virgo, not John or Sam, an ex-teammate of Adam's?
Is he?
I think they were in the Brighton, didn't
he? I think he might be thinking he's doing them a favour by linking his name.
He can do one.
Yeah. It's not helping my heart at all.
Adam Virgo, if you ever want to be welcome in the Rebel Yell commentary box or the press box at Woodside Road, you can just be quiet right now.
Yeah, I can't speak for Mr. Hinshelwood himself, but obviously he will want to climb the tables at some point. He is a good manager. We've seen it ourselves with the teams he puts out. But I think in my heart of hearts, he will want to see this season out and get us promoted.
Pete, it's like when we were talking to him, like, you know, even off the mail, he was saying there's so many players that do get scouted, but they kind of turn it down and want to finish a job. They want to finish a job. You know, you look at players like Callum Keeney that's come back. He had the opportunity to go to another club at National South level, possible national level. But he said to Dorking Wanderers, he said to Mark there, he said, look, I want us to go to Worthing. Anyway, if I'm going out on loan, I want to go to Worthing. You know, we'll talk about Callum later in the podcast. He's been an excellent re-addition to the squad. But I think it would be like Hinch, as you say, we can't talk to him and we're not talking out of turn here. So apologies, Adam, if this is like not what, you know, what's the right thing. But I personally think he wants to see the title.
Yeah, at the same time, James, this is us as fans just talking amongst ourselves.
So, of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were allowed an opinion about it. And my opinion is, I think, and I pray, that Adam wants to see the job out and get us promoted.
Yeah, he's put a lot of work in to get us to where we are now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Spencer and I sat down with him at Woodside Road. So let's see what his thoughts are on the past couple of months. It's been a long time in not speaking to him. Let's speak to Adam.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
2 months, so a little bit more to talk about as usual. We're not going through every game, but overall, your thoughts on the past couple of months and where we're sitting now at the end of January in a quite comfortable, not comfortable, but quite nice position at the
solid.
Solid with a sort of 4 points clear as we speak.
No, yeah, like I always look at it that we should be, in my opinion, we should have two more points, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and rightly or wrongly, That's how I look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a very good sort of points though. I think the lads have performed very well. We've had a slight tweak in formation, so we're able to mix up formations after, on the back of getting beat at Carl Shorten. I don't think we had enough ball, so we had to look at how we played. And yeah, I think the lads have responded quite well, and it gives us another jink in our armour to be able to switch formations. So that's a real bonus at this stage of the season.
So we'll talk about the nice two victories we've had down the road by them lot, over them lot, in a little bit. But you've added to the squad over the past couple of months. We've had, is it three signings, if I can work out? And Callum Keeley, I think, was right at the end of November. So I think it might have been just possibly when we signed. I think it was the day after we released the last podcast. So, you know, he's obviously new. His loan period's almost over, as you said. We've also got Luke Robinson and we've got James Beresford. Three brilliant signings. They've been playing so well. You must be happy with them, how they fitted into the squad.
No, yeah, that's part of the reason of bringing them in. I knew of their quality, of course. And I think, you know, with James, it gives us that option to play a different formation, and such a clever footballer, he can roll into sort of positions as well, which I like from the fullback, similar to what Finn Stevens done when he was here. So yeah, I like that from players to have that intelligence. And you know, Cal we've known before, and Nath knew well of Luke, so they're all Sussex boys, really, all based local.
Yeah.
I think Cal and James Beresford are in Lancing, and Luke's slightly further afield in Seaford, but Sussex boys, I think, is important, and all three of them are hungry and want to, you know, push up push up and play as high as they can. Obviously, yeah. Cal's dropping back a little bit, but knows of us and knows.
But it's also a testament to you because he said to us, like, he was told that Dorking wanted him out on loan. They wanted him at the same level, but he was like, I want to come to Worthing. And he said he was straight on the blower to you to try and sort it out. That must be a testament to you in the setup around here, for someone to drop down when he's obviously gone up to get promotion with Sutton into League Two and then gone down again to Dorking. But to come down another step and almost finish the job he's done, it's a great testament.
Yeah, it's obviously, being a successful side that we've been over the last few years helps with that.
He wants that medal, doesn't he? He just wants that medal.
I think it's testament to everything, really, to having the kind of fan base that we have. That's what players want to come and play in. If we only got 200, would it be so much of an appeal to him? You know, it's the whole thing, the whole package that we've got here. We've got good facilities, we've got massive fan base, and you know, I like to think that we do try and do things professionally on and off the pitch, and the players do feel happy with what we try to deliver. I think all of those factors play a massive part, and anyone coming and signing, and I think, like I say, the three good players that have added a lot to us and give us another sort of dimension.
Yeah, it must be amazing to be a player and come down and play like in front of over 1,000 on a cold Tuesday night.
But it's even like we say on the internet, like you see some of the League Two teams, some of the National League teams aren't even getting that. Like, look at National South, you know, you think if we do get that promotion, there's probably going to be more nearly 2,000 every week, like without a doubt. And, you know, that must be, as you've said it before in this podcast, it's a way that you can say to the like players that you're trying to attract, just go on YouTube, look at the facilities, look at the atmosphere on a match day, look at the Bognor games, you know, look at the atmosphere of Lewis games. You know, it must be, it's almost like signs themselves, doesn't it?
100%, like you guys sort of do a lot of the work for me by, you know, turning up in the numbers you do. But I honestly believe that we're only sort of scratching the surface as well of what we can generate here. It's a big population, big town, and hopefully, you know, supporters come in for the first time and they enjoy what they see. You know, I think the last couple of games that we've had big crowds, especially on Tuesday night for Folkestone, and I think the players have delivered a good performance as well. So hopefully they like, you know, watching the team and obviously the environment that we create, and obviously the environment that you guys create as supporters as well. It's a massive draw to any player who wants to play in front of that. And have that every other week at home is, like I say, a massive, massive pull.
Yeah,
and,
it's a 12th man as well.
Yeah, right, out on the pitch. Definitely. You want to be playing at big clubs, and you know, Worthing now are a big club for this level.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. I mean, you look at it. I mean, you can even look at, like, we'll talk about El Clasico now, the two games each side of the new year versus our lovely rivals down the road. I mean, firstly, that one on which was meant to be the 27th. Postponed very late on, must be very frustrating for you and the lads, and you know, great testament to getting it on again the next day and managed to sort of, I really thought everyone was sort of thinking, are they doing this to try and put us off because the rain was awful overnight, we're not going to say, not going to get libelous on here or anything like that, but it must have been quite frustrating because you would have set up for over Christmas, you, the players would have had one focus, which was that Bognor game, and then to be told it's off. I mean, how do you deal with that? Like, what was when did you find out? Was it like, was it on the management committee? You had like sort of text going through?
Basically, Jack picked up the phone and called me about 11 and said, look, it's in doubt, the rain's still coming. You know, it might be on at the moment, but if all your fans sort of travel away and you travel in as a team, and there's a good chance that it could be called off with the amount of rain that keeps coming. And I said, okay, just let you know. And then he called me back about 10 minutes later and said, would you be up for coming back tomorrow? And I said, yeah, I just want to get this game on and get it played. Like, obviously, that was my initial thinking. And then you go to the board and say, look, this is what could happen. And then they start thinking about the fans a little bit more and, you know, what that means to players that fans that have made plans and can't make that day and stuff like that.
There's a lot of fans frustrated with the decisions and
you've
stuff.
You've put that with players, though.
No, exactly. Players and are available. For me, it was an absolute blessing because I got another session in. I said to the boys, look, he's coming in anyway. Who can make a training session if we start? And we managed to come here and have a session. And, you know, testament to the players, they've been first class over the Christmas period. They would come in, like I say, they didn't get paid extra for coming in and doing an extra day's work. They come in, they trained all over the Christmas. I think we trained on the Thursday before Christmas, then we trained on the 27th, and then they played on the 28th. And I'm glad they got the reward for showing that kind of level of professionalism as well. Yeah. And you know these boys as well, that they're going to look after themselves.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to obviously enjoy the festive period like they, I'm sure they did, but at the same time, including, you know, we need to be performing because, you know, they are part of a big club and, you know, they need to perform and know there's going to be a big following and big lots of eyes on them, so they don't want to let themselves down.
It was a different class that game, though. Like, they really did, because obviously when we went one down, it was a little bit of a mistake from Harrison and goal. Like, you know, he sort of hesitated and that was that mistake there. But Bognor really didn't show much on the pitch otherwise. And you could see from where me and Pete were doing the commentary how frustrated the bench was, because it was like they weren't the same team that, you know, you could say earlier in the season when they beat us here at home, I don't think they deserved to win that. They were just got unlucky, two lucky sort of touches and that was it. The game was gone. But, you know, to see that response, you know, as a manager, you must be really proud of them, to like saying, because there could have been that little thing like, oh, you know, you got an extra session, but still are they going to be focused, or like, you know, they're trying to do a bit of housery on us or something like that. And, you know, it's great to that response. Fantastic.
No, yeah, listen, and also like how towards the end of the session, I think about 20 fans turned up as well. I think like any newbie to the squad goes flipping it. You're part of a big club here. If you're getting these guys turn up,
sort of stuff you see like in Italy and things, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, fans
turning up for training and stuff like that. But there's all certain stands.
Well, getting Matthew to start the fourth. Yeah, Worthing supporters club. Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was brilliant. Like, turned up. Obviously, you know, you can see they're disappointed because they'd made their way over, but come back on the train. Obviously, heard that we'd be training and turned up and mid through doing some set pieces and like just see some fans come around the corner. It's
but again, not just Bognor, like generally, you know, we go a goal behind, we seem to not let it affect us at all. It's like, you know, heads up, keep going, get on with it.
That's, we want to sort of be competitive in, you know, every minute of every game. You know, you can't let up, and the good thing is that they are such a really professional group. They do want to work hard. They don't, you know, any time we get together training and every minute of every game, they will give their all for you. And I think, you know, that's, you know, full praise to the players. They've got a great group here, great mentality. It's a great mindset they've all got. They all want to do well. And, that sort of spirit does go a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it does. And you can see, like, you know, just... even watching training while we're waiting to speak to you, you can see like just the camaraderie in the squad. You know, they really are a family, aren't they? And you're saying you've got these people that have come and you've got some that have gone. But I genuinely think that, you know, you can't get a better bunch of players, which is why that end goal is like, it must be so, as you say, like if it doesn't happen for one reason or another, you know, hopefully you plan for the next season, but looking hopefully likely that family stay together and build on that. And, you know, you rise up the football pyramid like we all like to see.
Yeah, obviously, there's a long way to go, and we'll just be fully focused on Saturday, because we know that...
Yeah, because we said to Callum, obviously, we know what... everyone's winning around us, which is why it's so important to be winning. Like, just if you keep winning, the title's ours. But do you guys... are you just focused on the next game? Do you not focus on the rest of the league? Are you just thinking about the next game?
I've always done that. Yeah. When I come in and, you know, we need to get points to stay up... it was the same focus then. You know, all we can concentrate on is taking care of business on the Saturday, and that's the way that we've always worked, and, you know, it's what's still us in good stead so far. So we're definitely not going to change that and get too carried away. All the plans and everything are for the club to be upper division. That's where we want to get to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I say, it's not guaranteed to happen next season. So, but we want to plan for it when it does happen. Because, you know, I've got 2 and a bit years left, and in that time, I want to hopefully be managing this club in the National South, and that's the goal. So we want to start planning for that when that happens. And like I say, we've just got to take one game at a time. Crimson Casuals will be a real tough test.
Well, they were tough at the beginning of the season, weren't they?
Found it hard to break them down.
Did they beat us in the league, or was that a draw in the league?
I think beating 1-0.
It was quite a scrappy game.
Yeah, scrappy game.
It was the FA Cup was the frustrating one, wasn't it?
I think we should have took care of business. Both times we played them at home, I think like we had chances first half to put the game beyond them, and we didn't take them. And then obviously we drew in the cup and won 1-0, but found it tough to break them down the second half. And at their place, I think like we just didn't turn up. No personnel, made a few changes, and maybe wasn't the right time to do it. But yeah, so we know all our focus just goes on to Saturday's game. We know it's going to be a tough test, and that's how you've got to look at it. It's, you know, we can't look beyond that. That's all we can take control of. Is that next game? So looking too far ahead is never gonna.
And you can't control what other teams are doing.
No, that's right. 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's no point going. We need this many wins. We've got 15 games left, I believe. 15, 16 games left, and there's no point looking and going. We need this many wins. All we can do is focus on getting 3 points and getting to 60 points on Saturday, which would be unbelievable. Points tally for the amount of games that we got
by the end of January. That's not
it's good, and that's you know, that's what we'd be looking to do. But you know, once we got to that, then the next focus goes getting to 63 points, and that's how we work. I mean, it's pretty boring and that, but yeah, that's
don't matter if the wins keep coming.
We'll see in the semi-finals of the Sussex Senior Cup. We're yet to know who we're playing. Obviously, we can play Horsham, Brighton, and Three Bridges at the moment. They're left the draw. By the time this goes out, we'll know the draw. Are you looking for a league and cup treble for the end of the season?
Oh, yeah, I think we've got to be competitive. We've got a Velocity Trophy.
Are you looking at the same for the Velocity, like doing a competitive squad for that? Or are you going to sort of play some of the maybe players that aren't going to be in the sort of first team as much as they'd like?
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity to look at players and give players minutes and keep everyone fresh going into the running of the season. But at the same time, I believe in the squad and believe we should be competitive and look to do well in that competition as well.
We look at the Bognor game, for example. It wasn't probably the fullest strength team, but like it was still a very strong squad, and that was some of the players that don't get mixed, and we still beat them 2-0 and quite convincingly.
No, that's right, yeah. So that's the belief that I've got in the squad, otherwise they wouldn't be here playing for us. And you know, I said to them all the time that they're all going to be needed, especially when you've got Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday.
It's pretty much what it's like for the next couple of
months,
isn't it?
We've got suspensions, we've got injuries, we've got now Miki's got an injury, we've got suspensions now for Danny Barker. So everyone's going to be needed, and we want them to be ready to step in and take the shirt, and I think we've got the squad to do that. So it's important that we do keep them fresh and give them minutes as well. But yeah, we want to, at this stage of the season, we've still got three competitions, three trophies to try and go for, and that's what we want to do. That's what we, as a club, we want to be doing that. I think the under-19s are opportunity to do the double, the under-18s got the opportunity to do the double, and we're still in three competitions as well.
And you've still got the women's team that could be like, you know, they're so close to the top right now. It's amazing.
That's right.
Every team in this club right now.
So that's what we want to try and build in. We want to get used to getting in semi-finals, used to going for league titles and stuff like that. As a club, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight, but that's what we want to get used to and make the norm for us moving forward.
But that's a really good point you make about how well the age group teams are doing, because that's the next generation coming through.
I mean, if you look at the Tuesday night, we got a big game against Folkestone, and we've got Jasper, Luca and James Beresford that were the first boys in our education
program.
That photo is brilliant.
I'm sure they didn't like it.
Who's the other one?
Tom Colburn, that's Joel's brother. Yeah, so
is he still around the club?
He's sort of playing just locally now. But yeah, I think like what Nath does really well is he still keeps in contact with all those boys. If they've been at the club, like, he doesn't just, as soon as they leave, he still keeps in touch with them, make sure they're all right, make sure they're still enjoying their football, and if there's anything the club can do to help. And I think Nath's been, you know, an excellent appointment on that sort of side of things, to pull everything together and really take it on. You know, it's been a massive.
Well, it's like you said, it's always good to keep relationships going. It's like you said about the Danny Cashman side that he had in the summer. He's playing, he's signed for Coventry, he's playing in League Two, I think, at the moment.
Thing with like James Beresford. Like, we kept in contact with James, and he wanted to, he's had a lot of trials and gone a different route to sort of what Jasper and Luca have gone. Yeah. Luca got signed at Brighton and then come back. So I think it's important that you do keep that relationship with people. And if they're part of this club, then, you know, we do want to invest into their future and make sure that they feel part of it. And not just when, if they leave, you know, we're still keeping tabs on them and making sure they're okay. And I think we've got a duty of care now to youngsters to make sure that we sort of do that as well, and that's a like big part of what we do as well. And we've got lots of under-18s at the moment that go out on trials, and Nath's always messaging them, making sure that they're being looked after and stuff like that. And you know, he does a really sort of good job on that. And it's a big part of what we do. And then I'm not surprised that players do want to come back because they feel like they've been treated well.
Never been away.
No, that's right. Yeah. Definitely.
But unless you've got anything else to add, I think we kept you, you know, get yourself home in from the cold, because it's really cold out there. And really, we're looking forward to Saturday against Corinthian Casuals. Hopefully we can keep this good streak going. And when we speak to you at the end of February, hopefully there'll be a few more points in the bank and a little bit closer to that goal. But Adam, it's been really fun to be watching over the Christmas period. So no credit to you and the coaching staff and the team. It's been a pleasure. Occasionally frustrating.
Saturday
against Hornchurch, but these things happen in football. But you know, as long as we still love coming down and watching and see the sort of how good the players and the squad are. So thank you for making it entertaining. It's never easy to support a football team that are going for promotion, because you do get those things. But
the players have been excellent over this period, and I'm just pleased they're getting their rewards. Really, you know, it's all very well.
Yeah.
Me taking all your plaudits, but it's down to them.
Yeah, it's just a great deliver on everyone around the
deliver
front.
On the pitch. So.
Yeah. Anyway, look after yourself. We'll see you.
Awesome, chaps.
Yep. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers. This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
It's always good to speak to Hinch. He always sits down. He always takes time for us. And to be honest, like, for a fans-led podcast, he's very open and honest with us, which is great. And gents, and I know we say every month, but you know, we wouldn't get that at many clubs.
Yes, yeah, it's like a broken record. I'm saying this every month, but he's just fantastic with us, with his time, and he's so open with what he has to say.
You know, even when we turn the mic off, you know, he's sitting there chatting for him for 20 minutes after the mic was turned off, and that's just the sort of love of non-league that you have.
Yeah, it's, you know, going back to what we were speaking about previously, it's just his commitment. I think his commitment to the club. He's got a pure passion for Worthing.
And I mean, obviously, we want to see him progress in his career, but hopefully it's under the red and white of the Rebels. In the National League, you know, I think the model that we have at Worthing has been a model that a lot of clubs would envy.
Yeah, as I alluded to before, the whole thing with Worthing at the moment, when you look at it from the board, you know, the people that have come onto the board in the last few years from what it was years ago, they're all professionals. They're all professional people. And Adam is a professional person. Go to the kitman Stuart. They've got a set thing they want to do, but everything is prepared for the players. By the time they get to the ground, everything's laid out, ready for them. So there's professional feel about the whole match day, and everything behind the scenes is geared up for match day. And what the club does and the board does behind the scenes is all geared us to being run as a, you know, a professional club.
Mm. No, it's very true.
There's no grabbing your shirt out of a black bin bag and being left with a double XL one when you're small.
Exactly.
But there is a times when Pete gets confused on commentary when Harrison mails down as number one, but he comes out wearing a number 13 shirt.
Yeah, but I don't get confused because I know he's the goalkeeper.
Yeah. You just need to put a 3 next to his name on the team sheet, don't you?
It just annoys me that he's number one on the team sheet and then number 13. But then we had an instance the other week with a women's game, where me and Gareth are in the press box and I'm doing the tannoy. And woman comes on, the shirt number's not even listed on their squad sheet. And it's like, ain't got a clue who that is. And I'm going, Gareth, who's that who's come on to announce? He's going, I don't know, Pete. Like,
don't set Gareth off.
And it was crazy that teams can't put a proper number next
but
to
I thought I mean I don't know if it's the same down at the women's level, but I thought that, you know, in any league that they have to have the team sheet listed and the players listed for like league purposes.
Yeah,
there could be fines.
They do have to have it listed properly, but there was a number which wasn't on the team sheet and we were like, well, we ain't got a clue, it's come on, so we'll just stay quiet.
Just ignore the PA. Talk about the women's team, good link in there, Pete. They've been obviously achieving above and beyond really right now. I'm speaking to John, and we'll go over to him in a minute, but you know, with a few new signings, and obviously we spoke to him at the beginning of the season, spoke to John when he came into the club, he spoke to Ella Newman, we spoke to Chloe Lelly, and they were hoping to get mid-table, but they're pushing towards the top. And you know, these new signings have really, really brought a sense of achievement to the squad, and there's some amazing results coming through.
It's the quality of players that John's attracted to the club. You know, there are players that have dropped down a level to play for Worthing, to play for John, and to play in the Worthing setup, and it's beyond impressive.
Yeah, we've had three women's games in a row, and all the performances were good. New signing, Emily Minster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She ran with the ball, and the forwards pulled their central defenders out of the way, and it was like a part in the Red Sea. So she ran virtually the length of half the pitch. Yeah, it's opened up for her. Hit a shot, great goal. And Sophie Humphries, if you haven't watched the highlights of the women's game, Sophie Humphries scored a goal the other week. She collected it about 35 yards out, turned and hit it, dipping shot in the back of the net. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, but as John mentions in our chat as well, you know, how things are developing off the pitch as well. You know, the whole structure and professionalism around the games and the team. Mm. And the setup, and the crowds are on the increase as well.
Yeah. And talking about structure and professionalism, look how good these, you know, our hosts of the Rebel Yell podcast is. And Spencer has just linked into that beautifully. So we will go and cross over to John now. Talk about professionalism. Spencer, wow. Here's John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
John, it's been a long couple of months, quite a successful couple of months, I'd say, for the women's team. The only defeat in the Sussex Cup to Crawley Wasps, which you said there would be a challenge anyway, didn't you? But overall, what are your thoughts on the last couple of months?
Well, most recently, you know, this month's been really good. Mm-hmm. So we've won two, drawn one in the league, which has taken us up to fourth, which is nice. Crawley Wasps, I think the girls surprised themselves, didn't surprise us as coaches. But the game was a lot closer than they probably perceived it would have been. And actually, it was probably down to us going down 1-0 in the first half by giving the ball away pretty cheaply. So for me, this month has been really good and certainly moving up in terms of our performances and in our league position has been really good.
We were discussing it outside. Is there promotion from playoffs in this league or not? Is it just the first place gets promoted?
No, it's just the first place gets promoted. Yeah. So... It's really tough to get out of the leagues. Mm. You know, you're relying on losing very, very few games. Usually a team that gets promoted and maybe loses two games a season. Mm-hmm. So you have a bit of a dodgy spell. You're really up against it trying to get out of the league.
Yeah, like because I've noticed Ashford are the ones at the top of the moment, thought and you expected. Yeah. So I guess you build on this season, you know, you finish where we're doing so far so good.
Yeah.
I guess then hopefully next season, it'll be like in the men's league, they want Worthing out of the league so some other teams can get promoted. You might be able to build on it then.
Well, hopefully. I think a lot of teams are maybe not necessarily investing financially, but investing in supporting their women's team. Mm-hmm. So you look, we've got Millwall in the league. We got Fulham in the league, so Fulham have got a full-time manager, although his full-time job is working in the community side of things. You've got those sort of teams in there to get past, so we need to be able to attract players because we won't be able to pay them. There needs to be something here that we have that attracts them. So the obvious thing is the facilities, as we spoke about before. Hopefully they've seen some of the performances on the pitch and seen that side of things. The new media team coming in and doing a bit of work and, you know, the match day experience, all of those things allied to what we can do in terms of training and how we can develop players, that needs to be our attraction.
So this season, in a way, is kind of like a benchmark, I guess, for the end of the season, to be going out and saying, right, this is what we've done as a club, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
This is what we've, you know, how we've developed.
Definitely.
Off the pitch and on the pitch.
Definitely. And that was really what it needed to be about, was to show a progression, and I think we've done that, and we've done that really well as a club and as staff, etc. We've shown that progression. Hopefully the players can feel that and see that, and obviously they're, you know, it's always a small community, the football community, especially the women's football community, so hopefully they're seeing what we're doing, and we'll have more people coming this way next season.
This January has been a busy month at home. I feel like it's very quite a few home games in a row.
Yeah, we have.
Am I right in thinking February, all away games, isn't it? Yeah. We're nothing at home.
Yeah, so we've got three away games in a row, and we've got the teams that we've spoken about. We've got Ashford in the League Cup, first round of the League Cup. We've got Millwall and Fulham. So all the ones that are pushing and developing and challenging. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough few weeks.
Yeah, it does seem that it's going to be difficult. Out of those three, which do you feel is going to be the biggest challenge?
Well, I suppose you get a free hit in the cup games, You know, we've got the cup game first. I want to play them again because they really gave us a hammer in the last time we played. So it doesn't necessarily always work out that the next time the game is a lot closer. But I'd like to see how we progressed. In terms of Millwall and Fulham, they were really close games, really tough games. So I'm guessing they would have improved as well. So hopefully those games are... For me, the league is far more important because of the fact that, you know, we want to keep that ascendancy going.
COVID has been rife over sort of the last 6 weeks, really. Mm. Has that affected the players that you've had available for matches in January?
It affected. We didn't have Amy Critchfield, who unfortunately came down with COVID before the semi-final. So as an 18-year-old, move into a first team, she was probably absolutely gutted that she couldn't even be in a member of that squad. She was a little bit ill with it. Kelly Newton, our assistant manager, couldn't make it on the weekend because just before she was about to leave, her test was positive. So she wasn't able to do that. So that was a bit of a challenge. And there's been a couple of others that have it. I suppose one way we've been lucky, but that doesn't mean the next time we talk, we've been having no subs and Kelly's played 90 minutes maybe. So... Yeah, it doesn't help when you've got that on the back of your mind.
I've lost track of it. I think it's been 2 months, but I think it has been since the last time we talked. Some new signings for the women's team. How did they come about? Like, you know, just give a bit of background, because obviously, as you say, they're not paid. I think they were quite local. Bex is from.
I can't remember if we spoke about Bex. Bex Bell and Molly Thorns both come from Chichester, so they live that way. So we've signed. Bex has played. She scored actually an excellent goal on the weekend. Molly's getting her fitness back. She didn't really play last season at all, so she's developing that side of things. And we've just introduced Emily Lintzer and Katie Cooper. Katie played, hurt her back, couldn't play last week. Emily did her first start on the weekend, so that was really, really encouraging. We could get them into the squad.
Are you looking now at next season, starting to build on that to develop the team to maybe challenge for the promotion spaces next year? Is this what sort of you plan out at this time of year?
I want us to just carry on.
Let's do as best as you can.
Getting as high as we can in the league. Yeah. You know, that'll look after itself in terms of that.
It'll be a massive morale boost for the girls. And obviously, if you're trying to recruit in the summer, did this year. Yeah.
You know, we're getting better, we're progressing, and I want us to keep that going. I think trying to mix it up too much, you might get a few inconsistent performances. Mm. And we had that at the beginning of the season. We want to get consistency. So we need to recognise that we haven't got a reserve team. So players have to play. So I have to change it around a little bit. But I'm not, you know, just playing players to see how they are next season. I'm trying to win every game.
So any more signings before the end of the year, do you think? Or is that going to be it?
We've had a couple of other people training with us. Yeah. So maybe.
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 Add to the strength.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's been, I mean, from I haven't been able to get down
that's
for a while.
On the field and off the field, with, you know, the direction everything's going, it's really incredible.
I mean, just look where they are in the league. It's amazing. The women's team's done really good for the club. And, you know, you look at the men's team, what we're doing in the sort of Isthmian, it's going to help the women's team because new facilities may appear and stuff like that, which is obviously going to help you. Yeah. But, I mean, to have another club and another team that's doing so well, be proud. It's like, I'm proud to say. And Gina, I know when you come down, when you've been able to watch the bits of the games, you've been quite impressed by what you've seen.
Yeah, I think the standard is so much better than many people expect it to be.
Good.
You know, you come here, you do watch really good football. I know there's some talk about, you know, as the evenings get lighter, getting the young mascots along again and getting the kids involved.
Yeah.
Do you find that the team enjoy having the youngsters around?
Definitely. It feels a better atmosphere. You've got the mascots, you've got their parents, you've got their friends, you've got their other siblings, and it generates a greater atmosphere.
Mm.
And I think the players sort of thrive off that a bit. You know, you've got a bit of noise, you've got a few people interested in what they're doing. I think certainly that helps.
They certainly make their voices heard.
They do.
The young girls, don't they? They certainly do.
You're on the highlights when they say you can hear them chatting. They must sit around the cameraman.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive the amount of noise that small people can make.
Yeah.
And it's really heartwarming to see, actually.
It is.
Sort of like that next generation getting involved and getting interested.
Yeah. So some of the teams have obviously are local. Some of the mascots are local. So there's an interest there as well, because there are some players who play for us who are local. So it's you might even see them walking, doing their post round or something like that. You might see Gemma doing it.
Yeah, there you go. No, it's good to see. Well, I guess that's all that. Long may continue. We look forward to speaking. We'll try not to leave it 2 months this time.
Yeah.
Blame Christmas and COVID and all that. We'll do that. But we'll speak to you at the end of February to see what the games are.
Hey, Johnson, thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks,
no worries. Cheers. Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Yeah, so let's link out that. It's going so well, guys, isn't it? You know, John there, Spencer with the links, Pete with the links. Got to be out of a job soon, guys. I thought I was a smooth operator when it came to links and everything like that. But you guys are just growing and blossoming like a beautiful flower in the garden right now of the podcasting specialties, aren't we?
You can shut up now, James.
I get enough abuse trying to say, Pete, I try and take the mick out of him. So I'd be nice and I'd get a backhanded compliment. He goes, shut up now.
I don't believe it. That's why.
It's all a bit floral, wasn't it, going on about flowers?
Yeah. Well, what else can we do? Blossoming into a National League side then or something like that. Let's do that. Is that more relative?
Maybe we're getting more professional, like Worthing are with their setups.
Yeah. Well, maybe next season we can build a studio somewhere in Worthing, call it the Rebel Yell Studio. Well, we did wind Dave Cocker actually up saying with the plans to like renovate the ground that if he's doing a gantry of the opposite side, it's going to have to be named the Rebel Yell Gantry. So then he replied to me, yeah, if you've got £8,000, mate, it's very all yours. I was like, oh, cheers, Dave.
We'll work on them.
I think we can meet halfway and a little bit less. And he won a crowdfunder for Rebel Yell. Great sponsorship opportunities for National League South podcast. Hey, we won't get carried away because we've still got that. It's getting carried away. It is. We've said it after games, guys. It's frustratingly so close, but it's so frustratingly tight right now in the league, especially with the men's. You know, as we quite rightly said, if we keep winning, then we've got no reason. But, you know, there was a couple of results when this past weekend when we drew 1-1 with Corinthian Casuals. The results did go away. Oh, mate, I hate that ground. And I said to the guys, as you know, Pete, you're right. I said to the guys after, I really like the people at the club. The fans are nice. You know, the staff are really nice and welcome. And I said to them, I was just perfect. I said, I effing hate coming to your ground. I absolutely hate this place. I said, you frustrate us. You're a brilliant club and I love you guys, but I hate this ground and I hope I never come back again. And he said, you know, you won't come back in. This will be the last time for a while. I said, no, the thing is this league's way too tight to even say that yet. And yes, we are the favourites, like possibly now, but we need to look at our backs for Enfield that are really close. I think that's going to be a huge game when we play
at the end of the month, 26th.
The end of the 26th. Yeah.
So when we record our next podcast, it could be a very...
Do you know what? I'm more scared of Hornchurch.
Really?
They are proving very hard to beat at the moment. Very hard to beat.
But then you can say, since Carl Shorten.
They haven't lost in 11. The only time they've dropped points was against us.
But all the teams kind of seem to go on little runs, don't they? And then kind of fall away again and they all start beating each other. And
yeah, like Lewis are having a dip at the moment. But I think all that's probably around speculation.
Bishops were on a run, weren't they? And they've sort of dropped back down again.
But the thing is, all the teams around us, including ourselves, we've all got to play each other still for the second match of the season. So points will be dropped.
But we've got some good fixtures to come as well, if you look, where we should hopefully put some points on the table and hopefully...
You're right. I mean, starting this coming weekend with Wingate. But I think it's a good chance to go through some of the results we've had since we last recorded a podcast. Starting at the beginning of December, feels like ages ago, 2-0 win over Cray. Brilliant result.
They had to restructure because they lost most of their team to Lewis, didn't they?
Yeah,
management
exactly.
And everything. So they've had to rebuild. It's been difficult. And of course, now they're sitting on a 3-point deduction.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Have you found out what that was about? 3 points was.
I haven't got to the bottom of it.
It's got to be fielding an eligible player or something like that.
It's usually an eligible player.
Yeah.
An eligible player.
Hello. Going on to that, we had a horrible cold midweek game up Haringey Borough. Frustrating coach journey, I heard. It was just such a cold night and we just didn't seem to get out of the box there. And I still remember that was a famous stick that on your effing commentary which we found out was your chairman because I celebrated
chairman,
a little bit too
it?
Much. Yeah, yeah.
Because you were sort of celebrating our goals and when they scored, you went mental.
We didn't realise who he was and then it's like not until the stadium announcer said, commentary. Yeah, that was the chairman doing that.
He put you in your box.
He did, literally. But I literally hate those Tuesday night games. We've had a few over December where the Margate, you know, on the weeknight, which we lost 4-2, and it's just horrible that. Come on, Margate! Come on, Margate! I was listening to it from abroad.
Yeah, we've got. Yeah, people are still talking about it now.
It just makes me laugh. Gary, Mr. he was literally, he was getting so angry at that bloke, wasn't he? And Gary's Mr. Karma Collective, but I think he literally is saying on the commentary, I want to go and wring his neck.
Didn't we all? But we lost that game. That was.
And it made it even harder to listen to.
Yeah, it made it tougher.
But then we all saved it for the following week, post-Christmas. A day later than expected, some housery from Bognor, possibly. It was an awful thing because some people didn't manage to get to the game because of Christmas schedules and work. I was lucky because I actually did manage to get to the game. But a game that I thought was going to go very wrong when Bognor went 1-0 up, but to come back, hold a composure, 3-1.
Yeah, I never panicked at 1-0 because...
Yeah, but you're Karma team. Collective. This is and me you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's true. But the second half, we just absolutely dominated that game. Yeah. No way on earth. It was just how many can we score?
Yeah, sometimes it seems like we need to concede to get going.
We do that too much, though. It's like, oh, God, we've gone one down again.
But, you know, that game, I mean, it was one of those things I thought I caught a COVID after, but I'd done the testing. But I think it was just my shouting and my impressions of Jack Pearce. Really, really did take a toll on my throat.
Please don't do it again.
I'll save it for rebelyell.live for next time. Oh, it just great. I just loved it. It went, you know, because Bognor went on and on and on about how we've never beaten them at that place. But, you know, we'll go on to that in a couple of weeks later. Did it again. But, you know, we managed to get revenge with a lovely dry your eyes, mate. And their Twitter account then seemingly disappeared not long after that. So,
yeah, you enjoyed that, didn't you, James?
I did enjoy that, yeah. I think I enjoyed that a little bit too much. And like, even talking to some of the fans in the bar after, and they were laughing, saying, yeah, we gave it to you, you know, like, but fair play, you know. But then another Sussex derby on New Year's Day, a penalty hat trick, which looking at the highlights was just crazy from the referee. Some of them shouldn't have been penalties, but we don't care. We got 3 points. Horsham struggling this year. A derby is a derby, as we said.
Yeah, it's all 3 points in the bag, isn't it?
That's all we care
about. It was definitely at least two were definite penalties. The first one, I'm not quite so sure about.
Yeah.
I think there was a foot there and Jesper took it.
Yeah, I thought they were, like you say, two out of three were definitely nailed on penalties. Yeah. Obviously, they weren't happy about it, but
they're never going to be, are you? Never.
That's life, isn't it? Did you know who the last person to score a hat trick of penalties was?
What, in for Worthing or just in general?
No,
or
just in general football.
No,
it was Ronaldinho for Brazil in 2004.
Ollie Pearce up there, Ronaldinho.
But be careful because you know we don't want to fall into that Mick Sullivan mode where we're saying Brighton should be snapping Ollie Pearce up.
No, Ollie Pearce is rubbish. He's the worst player in the world. No one wants to buy him ever. 30 goals.
He's awful.
But, you know, he's awful. Horrible player. No, he's useless. but then we went next couple of days later, and I don't know if it was a New Year lull or just the amount of games. I sound like I'm Jurgen Klopp here complaining. But, you know, we lost 2-1 to Carshalton, which another very frustrating game up in South London. You know, one of those games that just, we're going to win some, we're going to lose some. But, you know, Pete, Spence, you both were there. Just such a, it didn't turn up that day.
It was just everything about that game was just frustrating. We didn't really seem to turn up. They had a centre-half who just cleared and got behind absolutely everything. The goalie was time wasting from the 10th minute. It was just one of those games.
Yeah.
Nothing clicked. Every time we tried to do something, it just didn't seem to work. And I think Adam said in his interview afterwards that he just didn't think we were switched on enough or aggressive enough in the tackle.
No, we were hoping for a bounce back the following week against Leatherhead, who had just had a change of manager, had a load of new players, clearly hadn't had time to get together yet, and a 4-0 convincing win, which could have been a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, convincing. That's 2-4-0 wins over them this season, so record speaks for itself, really.
Maybe they've got to a point where they maybe are too much for this league.
Yeah, I think they're a level too high for the level of club that they are.
And then we did the double in a matter of weeks away at Bognor in the Sussex Senior Cup. I wasn't there. I know Spence, you wasn't there. Pete, you were there. Great performance.
Yeah, it was, made the chances, kept the ball. Wasn't, you know, 2-0. The game probably flatters them a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's one of those fantastic result. Another one against Bognor. I think it really did shut them up this time. Wasn't as big a crowd as we might have expected. Some trouble after the game, which was really uncalled for by the Bognor fans, which kind of frustrated us as fans, because you know for a fact if it had been at Woodside Road, they would have been all over it like a seagull on chips.
Well, to ambush Worthing fans was
disgusting. And some of the...
Yeah, but we haven't heard
younger fans as well.
Of course, you'd never hear anything, would you, mate? If it was us, you'd hear everything. But
Like you just said, if it happened at our place, you wouldn't even listen to it.
No, exactly. But let's move on, because they're nothing to us anymore. Following week is when we had, I'd say, crunch time, starting to get down to the important fixtures. But you're playing Hornchurch, who, as Pete said earlier on, are one of the teams that he wants to look out for. A really niggly match, quite frustrating match at times. But then to be 1-0 up and concede literally in pretty much one of the last, well, I say one of the last, they nearly scored a winner about 5 seconds later. The team just seemed to be defending, sitting too deep, and Hornchurch was just over us, got that frustrating equaliser at the end. And Pete, as you said, you know, we said at the beginning of commentary, if we take 4 points out of six here, we'd be happy. But I think for me, what upset me so much, what made you feel like a loss, was the matter of way it happened.
Yeah, frustrating. I'm surprised we got the back of a stand left at Woodside Road, back of the main stand.
Why is that?
Somebody slammed it.
I don't know who would have do such a thing. I mean, talking about, I think Barry turned around and thought, what the hell was going on behind that?
Yeah, but with hindsight, it was a draw that felt like a defeat, wasn't it? Like beforehand, a draw, we were taking that, I think, as a good result.
I genuinely thought that we'd have more trouble with the Folkestone game coming up. I said it right, Pete, didn't I? Did I say it right? Folkestone. Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm learning.
You got it. Dominated them.
Folkestone, I thought, was going to be the absolute real tough game that we have. And
we play some really good football back there.
Yeah, and probably helpful playing them on a Tuesday. So, you know, they're travelling down. Some of them have been at work and travelling down, and you know, it's probably thrown them a bit compared to, you know, considering that was a rearranged game that originally meant to go on Saturday earlier in the season. It was pretty comfortable.
And to be honest, I think it was just one of those games where behaviour of certain players from their side really put a damper on it, because that big fight at the end, the referee, and, you know, I do like slating referees, but, you know, only when it's needed. But that referee had no hand on the game. I mean, when after the big fight at the end of the game, he walked around with his little black book of players and went around randomly carding people he'd written down. It's like, so if you'd actually been watching, their number nine, their striker, should have been off before that fight had even happened. You know, how the guy that grabbed Callum around the neck didn't get a red card. But obviously, Danny Barker, you know, he got card for his, you know, what his involvement in that. But the referee saw his involvement, but he had been attacked just before that.
But it shows how we can frustrate teams. We just frustrated them. They turned up probably, they were probably frustrated in themselves, and we frustrated them out of the game. And they just lost the plot, didn't they, basically?
Mm.
But then, like, seeing them at the end, like, running down the tunnel almost to go into the changing room, two folks and players.
It was when at the end, everyone just...
Two of their players were just hanging by the entrance to the tunnel, waiting for the full-time whistle.
Yeah.
The split second, the first blast of the whistle went, they were off down the tunnel. Callum had his eye on them, was straight off down after them as well. Apparently, when they got to the end, to the dressing room, the folks in there stopped and had a quick think of, like, what is it we're doing exactly?
Yeah.
By the time Callum Keeley was on the scene as well, and it was like, yeah, right, this is going anywhere.
But an important 3 points, you know, that's kept us right up there. 4 points out of six, those two important games. Going into the bloody frustrating game at King George's Field against Corinthian Casuals, the last of the month. 1-1. We went 1-0 down. But the change, I was really glad Deshaun needed a goal to get his confidence back. And, you know, I thought he played really well when he came on at halftime. And if it wasn't for their keeper, we should have won that game. I think Cole Brown had one. I think Deshaun had a couple. Callum had a couple as well.
But again, their keeper was time-wasting from 10 minutes in.
It was just a shame for the Italian Worthing fan. Mattia didn't get his second Worthing win, but he hasn't seen a loss yet, so I think maybe that's a good omen.
Hopefully. Yeah, and he missed the goal.
Yeah, he missed it. You and him went to get a beer, and, like, literally, he said to me, oh man, I cannot believe it, I missed the goal, and I saw, you know, I can't say it on the air, but you know what he's like. Pool, that's what he said, but you know.
But at the end of the day, we've lost two games in 2 months, one away at Margate on a Tuesday night. Always a difficult place to go.
All right, Jeff.
And then the game at Carl Shorten. Always a good team.
Always a tough game. And they're on a good run.
Yeah, yeah. So you look at it in the cold light of day. Okay, we've dropped some points. You know, Corinthians, you would have expected us to pick up all 3 points. But again, Jasper, at the end of the game, said, it felt last 15 minutes like they were running in treacle because of the pitch. Hornchurch stole an equaliser at the end. So, you know, we could have been 4, 5, 6 points better off than we are.
It's impossible to win every game unless you're
you can't expect to go out every week and win.
But we keep winning, they keep winning. The games are going to run out sooner or later.
What are we talking there? 15 left?
Is it only 15 left?
Mm.
crazy, isn't it? Cool. We had that worry of last podcast that could the season be curtailed. It looks like we've got through this Omicron wave and it's been good. We've got, you know, this month coming up, we've got Wingate and Finchley, we've got Merstham, Kingstonian, which is another huge game, Bishop Stortford, another big game away from home. Huge. And then the last game of the month is Enfield, which is the biggest game. So we've got two games in a row in the league that are huge. And that, put it out there, we get to that Enfield game, we beat Bishops, we beat Kingstonian, we beat Enfield. It's got to be.
There's still a lot of football.
There is, but surely they're the ones that we've got to look out for.
Without sounding too pundit-y, yeah. But it'd be a big help. Massive help.
Yeah. Okay. Voice of reason.
You know, there's a lot of foot. There is still a lot of football to be played. A lot can happen.
There is. Pete's car broke down, so he had to ask around. Managed to blag a journey with Stuart Evans, who's obviously a podcast regular, as you know, one of the youth coaches and the kit man on a match day for the men's team. But Pete sat down and recorded a little match day sort of. What would you say, Pete? What would you say is sort of like a sort of diary, match day diary of what his day involves?
Yeah, I was opportunistic.
I think as Stu's our kit man, you could call it a short.
Hey.
Okay, we are on our way to Tolworth to watch Worthing versus Corinthian Casuals this afternoon. I've met Stuart, who's kindly given me a lift today because my car's not very well. Thank you, Stu. So I've met you at the ground, 10:30. Doesn't kick off till 3. Why are we leaving so early, mate?
Obviously, you've got a travel time to take into account as well, so we'll get there for like 12, quarter past 12, and then it's just an hour really of just me setting things up for the boys, making sure everything's ready for them, getting the team sheet done, and just chilling myself really as well. To be honest, it's obviously a day out for me as well, so I just like to get there, have a coffee, just chill out, mate, really. So, yeah.
Okay, so what is your morning in town so far being the kit man for Worthing?
Not a great deal, mate. So, to be honest, I met Hinch for breakfast this morning, when I met down Mark Beans for breakfast. Which is nice, and catch up before the game. Just relaxes us as well, I guess. And then I prepared all the kit yesterday, so all the kit's ready. Ready for me to pick up this morning. So just load it in the car and away we go, really. So yeah, nothing too special.
Okay, we were going through what we thought the team were earlier on the tactics board.
Yeah.
And you said we'll find out later.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got an idea of what I think it may be, but. It chops and changes quite regularly, so we'll see what happens.
So obviously I presume it's a volunteer role being the kit man.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it takes a lot of your time and you've got a full-time job.
Yeah.
How do you fit that in?
I don't have a social life, if I'm honest with you, Pete.
Single then?
Yes, they're still single. It just, to be honest with you, mate, it just becomes part of your life, becomes embedded in you. And you just get on with it, mate, really, to be honest with you. Just work extra hours in the evenings when you get back from training and just make up the hours when you can. Just part of your life, really.
How long have you been doing it for?
So I joined the club in, oh my good God, about 6 years ago. I emailed George after coming down for a game, about 7 years maybe, and just said, look, I love what you're doing, I want to get involved. He got me in as commercial manager, because I work in sales anyway, then started to get to know John Meaney, who was the manager at the time, a bit more, and John said he needed a kit man, and then, yeah, so I think the first game was maybe Dagenham and Redbridge right away in the FA Cup, and it was my first game as kit man, from memory, so a good game to start, and then, just gone on from there, really, and then, obviously, over the last couple of years, got into coaching, so...
Okay, yeah, and cool. what's your favourite part of being the kit man for Worthing?
Do I have a favourite part of being a kit man? I don't know if I do, mate, to be honest with you. It's stress, it's hassle, you have to be organised, you have to be reliable. I don't want to let the boys down, so I worry about leaving stuff all the time and making sure they've got everything they need, because it's all part of... their kind of preparation for the game as well. So if I cock up and don't bring anything with me, then I could potentially cock up their preparation. But I just like being involved, mate, being something that obviously doing something that assists them to get where they need to get and winning. So I feel like I have an involvement, do you know what I mean? I feel like I've put something towards their win, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? So yeah, I just like being involved, mate, really.
Worst part?
Not having any Saturdays, if I'm honest with you, Saturdays are gone, completely gone. So yeah, that's probably the worst part of it, but it is what it is.
So, right, we'll have a pause, and we'll get you back on in a bit once we get there, and yeah. We'll talk about what you're actually doing.
Yeah, fine. And otherwise,
that other aspect of your job. So if there's anybody in a kitman out there.
Yeah, email me, let me know when you can start, and I'll give you a start date.
Okay, brilliant. We'll catch up in a bit. Cheers. Okay, we've arrived at King George's Field for this afternoon's game between Corinthians and Worthing. We're in the kit room. Stuart has already got the shirts laid out already.
Pretty much there, aren't we? You're not far off it now.
I can see... got Jaffa Cakes, Haribo, Mars Bars, Bananas, and Lucozade Isotonics. So you do look after the players?
We try, mate, yeah. Like I said to you on the way up, it's just about giving the boys the best kind of preparation we can before the game, the most professional setup we can before a game, to give them what they need to go out there and do the business, really, to be honest with you. So it's something that Hinch implemented when he came in. He wanted to kind of give them the best setup we possibly can. Completely agree with him as well, and something that I've bought into as well. So yeah, it's we do our best for them.
Right, and you bought the right colour kit because we're in the away colours today.
Yeah, we set up. Yeah. Good job. That.
do you ever panic when you load the car off and you go, oh, is it actually the right colour?
I have. Like I said to you on the way up, I panic that I've left kit and stuff all the time. So yeah, that happens quite regularly, mate, to be honest.
Okay, so this setting up in a dressing room, how long generally? So you've killed the back of it already.
Yeah, no, exactly that. I think I just want to make sure that when the boys get here, it's pretty much done, if not already done. I've got the team sheet to write out as well. So, yeah, I just want to make sure that it's there or thereabouts when they turn up. It looks professional enough for them. Yeah, so as you say, we're pretty much there or thereabouts now anyway, aren't we, really, in terms of kit's pretty much done, shorts are done, shirts are done. Okay. So we start chilling out a bit.
What will you do to chill out? Just sit down? And
yeah, I'd go and get coffee, get a team sheet out, yeah, check my phone, and yeah, just do stuff like that, really.
Look at funny memes.
Yeah, look at funny, yeah, exactly. Anything that I can do just to get ready for the game. So obviously for me, it's like, I need to get focused as well, so I've still got some responsibility during the game to make sure they've got everything they need and shout at the line as much as everybody else does.
Is the ball's going to be pumped up properly today, or is that down to Corinthians today?
Down to Corinthians. The balls are always pumped up correctly. It's just down to... It's funny how when a player misses a shot or misses an opportunity, it's down to the fact that the ball's not pumped up properly. So every home game, I give the rest of the balls at the start of the game. I say, can you just double check they're pumped correctly? And they say, yeah, no, we will, and they never do. Or they'd say they do, and then they still moan at their flap. So I can only do so much. No,
it has been giving us a chuckle in the commentary box this
Oh, I bet it has, yeah, yeah. It hasn't for me on
another
the sidelines.
Another ball.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Because
does Hinch say anything to you?
Not really. He might.
So the bloody hell, Stu, one job, mate.
The odd comment, maybe, but nothing malicious, just more kind of, yeah, more just out of kind of... Yeah, laughing and joking about it more than anything. It's the players more than anybody else, really, to be honest with you, mate. So, yeah. Little fussy blighters they really are.
Yeah. What time will the players start arriving?
So,
or are they expected to get here? They've got a set time.
Yeah, the meet's 1:45, but the boys are really good. So the boys will get here anywhere from 1:00 onwards, really, to be quite honest with you. Depends how quickly they've travelled up. Some leave, obviously live in London, so it won't take them too long today, but... Yeah, probably around about 1:00 I'll start expecting to see some of the players. Hence why I'm doing this now, to make sure it's all done ready for them.
Okay, and we've got the boom box as well.
Yeah.
Who chooses the music?
That's Danny Barker's job.
Is it?
Yeah, ain't the greatest. Quite honest with you.
Well, when we've done your favourite tracks or whatever it was, I think a couple of those with Danny Barker's.
Yeah, but then Danny asked me to choose some for him, and then apparently gave me songs that were... like a joke song, you know what I mean? Something he doesn't usually play, so I don't know. It's just rubbish, loud music, isn't it, really, at the end of the day? He ain't the greatest. Bless him.
These youngsters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm 35 now, mate. Yeah. I don't need to listen to
Have we actually changed Danny Barker's name there to Tyson Fury?
Yeah, well, he thinks he's Tyson Fury. I did remind him on the Wednesday morning that the punch was one of the worst punches I think I've ever seen, so bless him.
Yeah, for those who don't know, is Danny Barker's red card on Tuesday evening.
which was, yeah, quite memorable, really.
Wasn't the greatest, was it? Schoolboy antics going on.
Yeah, at the end of a game. But there we go. Right, so that's what happens in the dressing room. So we will catch up with Stuart a bit later on.
Okay, kit man Stu, your day is done. We're on our way back now, back to sunny Worthing, dark Worthing. Your thoughts on the game today?
Yeah, didn't really get going, slow, a horrible pitch to play against, a horrible team to play against. I think we just got, I just don't think we applied ourselves as well as we could have done and should have done. And set those standards that we've set so high and applied those standards we've set so high over the last few weeks that just, yeah. But anyway, it's a point on the road on a horrible pitch. There's another point, hopefully, towards the title, I guess. So it's got to stay positive.
We always say, if you get a point away from home and win your home games, you're always going to be up there at the end of the season, aren't you?
Yeah, but we want to be up there and out on our own. Yeah, that's the thing. So, yeah, it feels quite deflated. Feels like 2 points dropped, but yeah, it's go again on Wednesday.
Okay, I thought first half we were really disappointing. Second half, I thought we made the chances to win the game.
Yeah, I think probably right. I think we just didn't win our individual battles, didn't win second balls. Obviously, Mo had a point to prove against us as well. But then there's players that have come in today, like Inch quite said, that should have been wanting to prove a point as well with other players out injured. So ultimately Dejan did when he came on, he scored, but except from that, some of the starters probably didn't apply themselves in the right way, bearing in mind that they're fighting for their places as well. But anyway, it's important to stay positive and move on to the next game, I guess.
Okay, and from doing the kit today, your point of view, how did day go for you?
Yeah, no, good, mate. It's just a standard Saturday for me, really. So yeah, no, it was all good. So yeah, back, drop everything off tonight, and then back in first thing tomorrow morning to start the washing process. So we need the same kit again for Wednesday. So yeah, get that all ready and dried and repacks again straight away. I'm ready to go for Wednesday. So yeah, it doesn't stop.
Will it be the away kit again on Wednesday? Or?
Yeah, we won't blue kit again. Yeah.
So you better get all that washed and cleaned. I saw the mud on Jasper's shorts.
That's why I like the blue kit. It's, at least it's hides it a bit. White kit on that pitch would have been a bit interesting today. So obviously I've got the youth team game in the morning. So I'll come down to the club in the morning, put a first wash on, go and do the youth team game, and then come back and hopefully finish it off tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, and what is your product of choice for getting stains out of kits?
I don't even bother, to be quite honest with you. I am the worst kit man when it comes to stains in kit. They tend to just stay in there, if I'm honest with you.
You just put a wash on with a normal...
Just put a wash on, normal wash. I think it's Ariel Persil. Yeah, one of the top leading brands that other washing powders are available. But they just stay in there, to be quite honest with you. I'm the worst when it comes to that, so...
What time are you? Obviously, you've got a game tomorrow, haven't you?
Yeah, so the under 16s who play in the 18s league have got Bognor away, which is a nice little tasty derby for us. And hopefully, we can continue our good run.
And you look after the kits for all those teams?
No, not at all. So I coach the under 16s.
Yeah, you coach, so you put this
they
role
get
aside.
They get all their kits at the start of the season, they keep hold of them. Home and away, they get their kits as part of their signing on fee, and then they keep holding them throughout the whole of the season, basically.
So. Right, so their mothers are responsible.
Jesus, don't give me any more work, Pete. Jesus Christ, enough as it is.
So their parents are responsible for
their mothers. So now, this mother has got enough kit to wash.
So your cycle on Wednesday, obviously you've got a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
Like most of us have got work.
Yeah.
Is it difficult juggling it?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, really difficult. Get away with murder, if I'm honest with you. I can't remember where I am in the country Wednesday, but work out my diary. I think I might be in Southampton. So yeah, go down to Southampton in the morning and then come back and reload the car probably about, say, 3 o'clock, and then just get straight back on the motorway again and get back up to the same ground.
Yeah.
Is interesting. I did ask the staff at Corinthians today whether they fancied just washing it and laying it out for us on Wednesday, but they politely declined, so I tried my best.
so, So, right, okay, that sort of wraps up the life of a kit man. Anything else to add, Stuart?
No, not at all. No, no. Just like I said earlier, if anybody's interested in being a kit man for us next season, just apply and I'll give you a start date straight away.
Okay then, right, so we're going to wrap it up. We're going to finish our journey back to Worthing. And I'll help Stuart unload the car when we're back at Worthing, because I forgot to help him load it before we left, because I was
too busy drinking a bit,
having a drink with the lads. But that's life. All right, cheers, Stu. Thanks ever so much, mate. Bye.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Well, I'm just going to put it as that, because Pete's a passenger and he rides. No? Yeah?
No. Cool. It keeps him happy, Pete.
Right. Thanks, Pete, for that. That was really a nice little unexpected nugget of fun that we've got on the podcast for this month. A little chicken nugget of fun, should we say. Anyway, moving on quite quickly before I make myself sound even more stupid. Callum Keeley, as we could all agree, he came back to the club in end of November, beginning of December. I think it was just as we'd recorded, maybe the day after or so we'd recorded, just after the Dorking game that we got knocked out of the FA Trophy. And he came with mixed reviews from some of the fan base. Some, I really liked the guy. I think he was a good player. There's some fan base that thought, well, why have we signed him? But I think by now, at the end of this loan, you can say he's been an amazing, worthwhile addition to this squad.
Absolutely, because obviously he's played at CERN.
We got promoted to League Two.
Yeah. And then he went to Dorking, and he has improved as a player, definitely.
He's developed massively as a player since. Not that he was bad before, he was good before, but...
No, he's bulked up as well. He's a lot stronger.
Yeah, yeah. He's developed physically, definitely, and his gameplay, his football brain has got better, and that's the playing at a higher level, learning the game.
Yeah, and his hold up play, linking players in, just holding it.
His turn and shoot as well.
Quick swivels on the ball. That equaliser at Bognor, when it came into on the edge of the 6 yard box, turned into defender, hit it, bang, goal.
Did it against Folkestone as well, didn't he? Turn and shoot on Australia Day, which was nice to hear with his family listening from back down under.
His mum and his nan.
His mum and his nan. Who we thought his nan was his mum until we got corrected, didn't we, Pete? Because Cheryl's the one that always listens. But, you know, he's been an amazing addition to the squad. He's such a good guy. He's such a genuinely nice person. He loves being at Worthing, which is all we care about if we see someone that loves playing at Worthing. He's been a great addition to the squad. As we record this on the 3rd of February, to be released on the 4th, we don't know what his loan has ended. His last game was against Corinthian. But the murmurs around is that he's going to be here till the end of the season. Hopefully that's true, and hopefully when we release this, it hasn't been announced. Sod's Law will say there'll be some statement put out tomorrow when we're just after release it, saying Callum's returned to Dorking Wanderers, which I hope to God not. But from what I've heard and what Pete and everyone Spence have heard, he should be here at least till the end of the season. And you know, hopefully the way he's performed, I think we need a player like that to go into the National League if we get promoted. He's going to be a massive addition to our squad. And
I'll phone Mark White at Dorking tomorrow.
Go do for it, mate. I mean, I did. Oh, hang on. Callum Keeley has messaged me on Instagram.
Just a live exclusive.
Callum Keeley, hey man, any news on the loan extension for me? Extended, mate, here till the end of the season. Get in.
Oh,
there we go.
Rebel Yell exclusive.
So I'll probably get in trouble if this comes out and someone listens to it first. But, you know, hey ho, I don't care, because Callum Keeley is such an addition to the squad and, you know, absolutely love
and
that.
He's told us himself, so it's not.
Yeah. I'm just going to reply, absolutely cracking news. But that was live from his Instagram, and he's going to be one of those players we need to hold up. Him and Ollie have just been great up front. But on that amazing bit of news, let's hear from Callum as he sat down with me and Spencer last week at Woodside after training.
Let's do it.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
We're joined by Callum Keeley, who's back at the club for the second time. Can't stay away, can you, mate?
No, I can't.
So it's good to have you back. And you know, to be honest, like, you've been quality since you come back. A massive, I think Spence would say, yeah, like just
massive,
you've added to
massive
that.
Massive addition.
Like, you know, your hold up playing, you know, if you bulked up since you've been away. Yeah. You seem like a proper unit at the front now, don't
people
you?
People have said that. Yeah. No, I haven't done it.
Because that was like what you did before, but it seems to be more noticeable now from when we were last time.
You just seem like this, just strength on the front with the
holding up play and holding up.
I think it's just like the experience of playing a little bit higher and,
to come back. But we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I think because everyone knows who you are, you're not like you're a new signing, but you're not a new signing, so people know you, because when we've had like people like Will on the podcast and like Dino and everything like that, they've sort of talked about like them coming to a club, what attracted them. Obviously we don't need to ask you what's attracted you to Worthing, because you come back, so something must be here today. Got a new pitch, that's what you like to see. So Callum, like, just talk to us about your football journey. So when, from when you're a young boy, you obviously, you're from Sydney in Australia, aren't you?
Yeah,
just tell us about your career, like where you started and what got you into football.
So,
and why you've given up that beautiful weather to come to this table.
So yeah, I started playing like proper young, maybe like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Just fell in love with it. My dad was a player and stuff.
So just out of interest, like with just pulled you there in Australia, obviously football is not maybe the key sport. It's like more like obviously rules and stuff like that.
Cricket,
so why football, like when you had all those opportunities?
Like my dad being a player as well.
Okay, yeah.
My dad played over here when he was like my age.
Who did he play for?
I done like Millwall, played it. I know.
That's why Hinch likes you.
But mostly Scotland, to be fair. And then my mum being English, I always like come back over here and would love like the football around Christmas time and stuff. So just fell in love with it like that. And then always knew that like at 15, 16, I'd want to try and just give it a go, come over. I was lucky enough to do that, and then Brighton gave me 2 years.
So did Brighton inquire about you, or did you sort of start looking around at that age, saying like where you can possibly
go? I come over as like a sort of like a 2 month holiday.
Yeah.
Just giving it a crack as well, and just going like, I think I went to Fulham first.
Yeah.
And then someone from Brighton was at my Fulham game. Liked me, said to come down for a week, and then offered something off the back of that, which was like, for me at the time in Australia, no one was really doing anything like that.
Yeah.
So jumped at it, left everything like. So I come here with my mum, and then loved it. I haven't gone back since the move. Like I've gone back for holidays and stuff. I've been here like 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. Danny and Meeks and Dave Adjibo were my team then. So that's how I know.
They're like your good mates over here as well.
Yeah,
though,
good mates. Yeah.
Well, I'd say Danny's your best mate.
One of them, his brother. Yeah,
I can tell on Saturday. You know, protecting. We won't talk about that anymore.
And coming over at that age as well, like you know, sort of on your own. You know?
Yeah.
So they're almost like family, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, mum's side's here, so it was a bit easier. But I left all my mates and my dad's side. Yeah, it was tough. But really enjoyed it. Like, was so lucky I had that chance. So,
So what was the Brighton experience like? So, how you were there for a couple of years? You said.
Yeah, like a year and a half, 2 years.
Were you cut at the end?
I was cut, released.
Were you proper gutted at that stage?
Yeah, mate.
It must be like, because I know it's happened like Jasper. Obviously, happened to people like Jasper. But you guys obviously picked yourself up and you started a real building. At that age, so were you 18 at the time?
16.
16 when you got cut by Brighton. It must have been tough for you. Like, you know, what did you think? Did you think packing it all and going home, or were you determined to progress?
I got cut just before a scholar, so I wanted to try and give it a crack as a scholar because I made the big move. But when I got cut, it was the end of the season, so I didn't really have anything planned for the next season. Yeah. So my first year as a scholar, like under 17s, I just went on trial at loads of places.
Yeah.
And like loved the training every day, so I didn't really want to just pack up and move. But you know, nothing come from me being on trial anywhere. And then that just led to me like being in non-league and realised like there's so many different levels you can play in England and it still be like a good standard.
Yeah,
for like a very good standard. So for me to go back home, I've only got you got the A League, which is so spread out across the whole country, and the country's massive. Or you've got like a second division that's not the same, probably like maybe our level a bit lower, to be honest. So you know, it's he's definitely where I want to be.
I mean, you can tell like you seem to really enjoy it, because you obviously played so well for us in your first spell here. So you were here for what,
a year and a half, 18 months.
And as we were joking, you disappeared after I talked to you about your girlfriend's career ambitions, and next week he's gone. But you went up to Sutton and I know you remember, I was messaging you and saw your side, like me and Pete went to see the last game of your season at Barnet, and when you came on and making your last appearance. But what was it like to be in a promotion winning squad to the Football League? It must have been an amazing experience. It's probably good for your own character.
Yeah, and no, it was amazing. So at the start of the season, I was playing a fair bit, like just being on the bench and coming on. I think I played like 11 or 12 games in the end. But back end, I wasn't involved as much, but just being there and training every day and you know, doing the match prep and travelling to away games and seeing what it takes to like be a part of it as well, to win a league and stuff, you know, it was a great experience. And they're flying, them boys now. They're like third, I think.
Well, it's amazing when we see, because we look at it and we think, like, you've seen there's quite a lot of sort of people you would have played with. Obviously, David's still David Adjaboy. Yeah. You've got Finn Stevens, who did you play with, or was it briefly, and he's obviously in the Premier League with Brentford. He's making starts and coming on substitutes from Isthmian League to Premier League in like the space of a year and a bit. Yeah. And like seeing him win the trophy at Worthing, and like, you know, a lot of the fans at Worthing, we always keep an eye on the players. Yeah, and, you know, obviously you can see from Hinch's office, he's got all the shirts around, and it's an amazing thing. So, you know, to do that must have been such an achievement. But was it a bit sweet when, did you know you were going to be cut at the end of the season, or was it from Sutton?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I wasn't playing or anything. I don't think that he had a conversation with me as in like he didn't want me or anything like that. But I sort of decided to leave, and I don't think it was something for me anyway. Sort of just I organised myself.
Yeah,
had Dorking lined up, and I thought I was going to play a bit more there. So made the decision to go. And you know, if I don't really think about things again.
And Dorking are a club with ambitions as well.
Yeah, at the time, like I think I did well there as well. To be fair, I hit the ground running and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, like I'm here now and I'm loving it. So
obviously you came back in November, was it?
December.
So what? Obviously it was a week after we beat us, and you were celebrating against us, and you think you can walk back into the bar, mate? Do you know what I mean? what are you doing? But obviously it's great. It's a surprise, to be honest. And we all thought it maybe happened at the game. Maybe Hinch had spoken to the manager there. Yeah. And how did it all come about? Because obviously you said to me, I'm sure you don't mind me saying it, but you said if you wanted, they were maybe loaning you out somewhere else, but you wanted to come back to Worthing. You said, I want to come back to Worthing. I don't want to go anywhere else. What? Obviously, we know why you wanted to come back, finish the job you started a couple of years ago, definitely. Hopefully. But what was it? How was it all arranged and what happened?
No, it wasn't organised before the game.
No.
I didn't know that would be my last game for Dorking.
It's quite ironic, really.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think on the Monday, so we played Saturday. On the Monday, we had a phone call from someone at Dorking saying, would you want to go on loan? I think we're probably not going to play as much in over Christmas time in January, and just go on and see how you do. Like, they'd rather me play, and I'd rather play as well. And then I just said, if I want to go, I want to organise it. They wanted me to go that same level, and I rang Hinge pretty much straight away. Hinge said he'd try and help, like, do his best to get it done, and we got it done pretty much the next day.
We got quite a good relationship with Dorking, I think, from when they were in our years. I think Mark gets on with Hinch on a personal level anyway.
I think Hinch is really good with staying in contact with players after they've left.
A few texts here and there when we won the league and stuff. So, I mean, once we said that I wanted to go on loan, I needed to go on loan, I was definitely going to come back here.
So you're back here now. Feel different to last time? I mean, obviously, pretty much the same bunch of boys.
Yeah.
Bar maybe people like Ricky, who's moved on to higher. Yeah, he's in obviously the National South at the moment, isn't he, with Chippenham, obviously on loan from Swindon.
Yeah.
How's it feel this time around?
I mean, I think us as a core group are a lot older.
Yeah.
And it's shown, like, we've played a lot more games as a group and we're doing well, and we sort of know this league now. We're not that young team that's,
inexperienced.
Yeah. Although, like Hornchurch was saying, we got to do better than that.
Yeah. Frustrating,
that's a little bit of inexperience.
But what we noticed, we said after, like, you guys were gutted, like, none of you came to the bar.
It was a draw that was like a defeat.
Oh, it felt like a defeat to us. I mean, obviously, taking 4 points out of six of those two games was great.
We'd have taken it, but it's the
matter it happened. If it happened 10, 15 minutes before the end, being a bit gutted, but literally one of the last kicks, and we nearly then lost it straight after. But do you think it's going to be promotion success now? Do you get the feeling?
I mean, it's so long to go, and we've worked out, when our games will be harder as well. I think we've got, not looking too far ahead, but in March we've got the playoff teams back-to-back.
Yeah, I think we've got Lewis, Bishops.
And we've got an all right lead at the moment. I mean, I think it's, 4 points for the game
four
in hand.
4 points with a game in hand over most.
Don't know when that game in hand is, though, but I think you'd rather have the points than the game. Yeah.
So how much at the moment are you keeping an eye on other teams, or are you just concentrating on?
I mean, I think we just concentrate on ourselves, and then whoever we're playing on the weekend, we concentrate on them.
Well, it's right, because we say if you keep winning, it's going to be us. It doesn't matter who's around you. If you just keep winning and getting the points,
every game, every 3 points, it's another one ticked off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when if we lose or we draw or drop points, then you might have a look just to see. But I mean, at the moment, I'm pretty confident that. It's just if we do what we need to do and we prepare like we need to, then we'll give ourselves the best chance. I mean.
Well, as I say, hopefully you'll be here at the end of the season. Obviously, as we record this now, you playing your last game officially in this loan period on Saturday against Corinthians. When this gets released next week, Hopefully you're still a Worthing player, and hopefully you can be our good luck promotion charm, because that'll be back-to-back promotion for you, won't
you? Yeah, mate, so, I want
to... I mean, I did message him asking for one of his shirts, and he didn't buy the cover, so maybe you can do it this year.
Yeah,
well, right? Yeah, you can get me a Worthing one signed. I think it'd be much more pressure. But Callum, thank you so much for joining us, taking your time. Fingers crossed we see you around, and you know, if we do get the promotion, I think, you know, yourself is going to be a massive part of that squad that will help us hopefully steady ourselves in the national self next season if we get there. So good luck.
Thank you.
And,
Thanks for your time.
I'm sure Mum and Nan will be listening to this. They're always one of our regular listeners. So really
they love it.
Right, Cal. Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So again, Callum, thank you so much. I was absolutely buzzing that we are able to say you're going to be a player of us at the end of the season, hopefully into the future and beyond, and hopefully with a medal around your neck at the end of the season. I mean, it'll be not bad for a player.
He could be a lucky omen. He could be one of those players that just likes a promotion.
And I'm just glad we get Cheryl onto the end of the season. And was it Jess's mum? Cheryl and Jess will be, at least we've got two listeners, Pete, till the end of the season now, haven't we?
Yeah, they even, it was Cheryl who tuned in last night, even though Callum wasn't even in the match day squad.
Dedication. Breakfast in Australia, listen to Rebel Yell. God, I couldn't think of anything worse than Pete Vale in the morning.
Especially me doing it on my own.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, going back to the women's game, they're on a roll at the moment. Got the League Cup against Ashford this coming Sunday. Ashford, obviously a very good team, 13:30 away. Got Fulham away from home at 14:30 on the 13th of February. A big team, obviously Premier League and Championship back in, very wealthy owners.
Why are you saying 14:30 when you just said 2:30?
Because I'm reading it directly from the website, that's why. I haven't got the brain power to... I haven't got the brain power to say it straight away.
It's 2:30 a.m.
You know I landed from America this morning, I'm jet lagged. Don't knock a fragile jet lagged boy when he's down. And just to wind Pete up, 1400 on the 20th of February against Millwall Lions.
2 o'clock.
Thank you, Mr. Translator. Three matches all the way from home. At least they've got an extra game. So it's the last weekend of February. They haven't got a game. So, you know, hopefully be on a run and get more points. It's one of those things I think is frustrating that kind of got that promotion is one place. You haven't got playoffs. So as John said to us, it's one of those things that they're just going to build for next season. And
This season, I think, was always about consolidation, doing as well as possible.
Yeah, just staying in the league after a promotion.
Yeah, you know, come up, it's a new team, there's lots of new players.
Yeah.
You know, John's still quite new to the club. So I think you could probably say if you know, you look at being second, if we stayed second, probably the best we could have hoped for, I would say.
Yeah. And you never know, there could be movements as well. Sometimes that does happen, you know, for the Women's League. Teams might say they can't perform it the next league. We could go up or, you know.
And a cup semi-final.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Doing very well.
One of the players that has been a great signing to the club is Bex Bell. We were lucky enough to sit down with her for another Rebel Yell podcast interview exclusive. Spencer and I last Thursday and Gina. We sat down and we spoke to Bex, and Gina obviously got a biscuit question in because that's the token Rebel Yell podcast biscuit question. I think we should try and find a supplier for Gina's biscuits. You know, if on a match day, it should be Gina's biscuit barrel and you can have like 10 biscuits for a pound or something like that.
Oh, why doesn't she make her own brand of biscuits?
Are you trying to find yet another job for her to do?
Yeah, exactly. She does enough on a match day. She actually wants to enjoy the game. But without further ado, we'll sit down. She give her one of her other jobs for the women's team is interviewing Bex Bell.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Evening, Bex. Welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. Can you just give us a bit of a background about yourself, about your career today, how you got into football in the first place?
Yep, so I started off watching my sister play football. And then she quit football and I thought I'll make my mum watch it even more and started playing football. And then I joined a team outside of school in when I was 11, played for my local team. And then after college, I went to America, to Texas, to play football. Stayed out there for a year and came back. Then I went to Portsmouth, was there for about 3-4 seasons. There was a bit of a change of clubs and everyone from Chai went to Portsmouth and Portsmouth went to Chichester. So I went with the swap and went to Chichester and was there for 3 seasons before I came here.
Tell us about your experience in America, because I found it fascinating. Like Chloe, I think, has done it as well. Yeah. Ella, I think, did Ella do it? Yeah, so quite a few of the women's team have done it. And, like, you know, so I think they were in Florida.
Yeah.
But obviously you said you were in Texas. So like, what brought that around? How did you go out there and what was it sort of?
So I kind of always knew I wanted to try and do it. So yeah. When I was at college, I just looked into it rather than looking into uni.
And see a bit of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Went out there. And Texas, it was just the coach kind of that got me out there. I hadn't specifically targeted Texas. It's just where it happened to contact me, really.
Whereabouts in Texas was it?
Laredo, so it was right on like the Mexican border. It was really, really hot.
So it was, like, as we sit degrees. In 0 degrees yeah, and so mist all over the website, pitching you about to training
back.
Right now.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock coming back. But no, it was really, really good. Stayed out there for a year. The best bit was just travelling around playing games, really. Like, obviously, there's a lot of work to catch up on because you're not there so much. But getting to travel and see a bit of the world whilst playing football, I mean, you can't really complain about that.
Absolutely. And so what was it that appealed to you about coming to Worthing?
So I've been injured for a few seasons, did my ACL and came back. And then I just needed like a fresh start, really. Me and the previous club would kind of, can't fault them for what they did helping me with my injury. But we had sort of different, we valued different things whilst I was back. So I just needed a fresh start because I'd lost the enjoyment from it. And just coming here, it's a really sort of ambitious club and it's looking to progress. And it is a step down league-wise for me, but it doesn't feel like a step down because it feels for me more of a sort of professional setup than maybe some clubs that I've been at before. And it was really just the ambition of the club that kind of drew me here.
Well, we've signed you to get you back up to that step, haven't you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Like, rest on your shoulders right now, no pressure.
And that really is a recommendation to say you think Worthing's more professional than some of the other clubs you've mentioned you've played for. Mm.
Yes, I think certainly like the facilities and, definitely. You know, it's got some great opportunities. I think you joined us, I think it was November.
Yeah.
Sort of how have you found being here since then?
Yeah, it's been really good. So like I said, I had a bit of time away from football. So coming back to it, and we train less than I've trained before, but it's quite nice because it gives me sort of the more time to have the whole life football balance as well. And it's just been really easy to settle in. Like John and the girls was one of the main reasons that I chose Worthing as well. So it's just been really easy to settle in and it's just been enjoyable, really, which is what I needed to get from football again.
You found your love for it again, do you think?
Yes, yeah. Definitely coming back, yeah, which was, for me, the main thing for it, really.
Yeah, and I think, sort of, you know, when we've seen you on the pitch, it looks like you're enjoying yourself, yeah, it looks like you enjoy playing good football.
Pretty decent goal at the weekend, yeah, wasn't
it? Yeah, made an impact already.
It was all right, that goal, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah, I just shot myself with that one.
Some great goals being scored at the moment by the women's team. Definitely. Like some of these, I look at the highlights, I can't make the games. I'm like, God, you need to teach some of the men's team how to shoot, I think, don't
we? Don't do the easy ones, you've got to do the hard ones.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, so it sounds really positive, like you've got off to a great start. If any of our listeners wanted to sort of follow you on social media, which of your channels would you recommend?
So Instagram's really the main one I use, and it's RebeccaBell11.
Fabulous.
Used to be my old number, so any reason.
So is that a nudge for John next season?
Yeah, it's a little hint.
Yeah. She's got her autograph signed and everything for 11 in it. Like
yeah,
forget CR7.
Yeah, no, it's the brand, isn't it? Bex Bell 11. Got a ring to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, needs to change better. Change
my
Twitter.
There's a question that we always ask this season to every player, and that is the official Rebel Yard question. Don't worry, don't look too concerned. It's really not that bad. What is your favourite biscuit?
My favourite biscuit? I try not to sound too boring now.
Sit on the fence.
I would probably pick like a jammy dodger.
That's fair. I don't think we've had that.
No, I don't think we have.
We haven't had that. Is that your
favourite? I'm in total agreement.
There you go. Yeah. You two can get a pack of jammy dodgers.
That's Cookie Monster's favourite British biscuit, isn't it? Cookie Monster loves a jammy dodger when he's in the UK.
Have you had a chance to watch the men's team this season? Have you come down to any of the games?
No, I haven't got down to any yet, but I've seen it all on Twitter and follow it on Twitter.
It's good. Because we were saying to John, it's like it must be a good feeling to be in a club, not just for the way the women's team are doing, but the men's team, because obviously if we get promoted into the league above, we'll probably see more improvements to the facilities and they'll probably be able to draw more players to the club
as definitely.
Well.
And that's one thing as well, different to other clubs being at, sort of men's and women's team just feel one rather than...
Yeah, sort of the same facilities you get to play here rather than playing
so it's really nice
else.
And to train after them as well, it just feels like fully nice inclusive. Setup,
There's a lot of effort it's going into sort of improving the match day experience as well and, you know, like this season start charging admission fees and stuff like that and, you know, generating more crowds and there's a lot more social media activity as well, so it's trying to increase the profile of a team, which is great. So pleased that that's been noticed. Yeah.
So, Bex, final point. Yeah. All right, we'll put you on the hot seat now. Gemma got away with it last month because me and Pete forgot, to be fair, on the last month. You need to nominate. It's not a please nominate. You need to nominate someone else to come into the hot seat next month. And don't worry, if they give you any stick, we'll go and defend you.
I'll go for...
Just as a hand dryer's going. So she timed that well. So yeah, I didn't say anything. Yeah, no one can hear you. Anything like that.
It's not interference.
It's not in... No, no.
I'll go for Amy Critchfield.
There you go. So yeah. Amy, you're in the hot seat next month. You can go and tell her now just before training.
Break the news.
Go and break the news. But thank you for joining us. And long may the sort of hard work on the pitch and enjoyment continue, because you're doing a wicked job for the women's team.
It's a brilliant
representation of the club. So thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers,
Bex. This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great to hear from Bex. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back next month, or hopefully next month, whenever we can get an interview in with the next women's player that she nominated there. But guys, that kind of sort of brings to the end of this bumper special of the Rebel Yell podcast. It's been a long 2 months. As Pete says, we lost two in that period of time. So you can't go away unhappy with the men's team. Lost a couple on the women's team, but overall, it's looking good at Worthing. You know, the great news to end this podcast that Callum Keeney has signed an extension until the end of the season, because that's just the news we needed. You know, things can only get better, as the D Ream song would be.
Everything's on the up. It's on the up on the pitch, on the up off the pitch. It's all looking rosy.
I just think that there was a bit of negativity, because obviously we were 7 points ahead. And then there's a couple of defeats, a draw thrown in there. So you've dropped sort of seven points, and the lead's dwindled. And then people start thinking, oh, because they expect us to win every game, and it's just not, you just got to be realistic. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be hard. You've just got to think we've got a good team. The management staff know exactly what they're doing, And they will fight for every point. I have no doubt about the group of players that we've got will fight for every point available.
If every team that turns up at Woodside between now and the end of the season, it's their cup final.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You got it. And that's the thing. I think Barry was saying that it's their cup final, but we come through those matches, and that's what true champions and promotion contenders do.
Look at the way the Hornchurch fans were celebrating a draw.
Oh, mate, seriously, in the bar. I mean, get a rip, and then they couldn't take the banter after when we're giving it back to them. They're thinking, then that idiot that almost started swearing at us because we were doing exactly the same back to them, saying we're top of the league. We're top of the league.
That just shows what morons teams think of us. You know, that's in a strange kind of way, it's like a mark of respect.
Yeah, when we got that draw. We got the draw away at Enfield earlier in the season, and I thought it was a game we deserved to win. I think he was on co-coms that day, Spencer. The one and only time you've done it, so you need to be back on soon. But the Enfield players were celebrating that draw on their home ground, and I went in our dressing room, and it was like a defeat in there. It was like a morgue, and it shows you the mentality of our players compared to theirs.
Yeah. We just saw it against Hornchurch, mate, last week when we saw them leaving the ground.
Exactly. Just saying some of these other top teams, it's like really big for them if they get a point against us. So I've got no fear. I think the two games in the next month that we've got, if we beat Bishopstortford and Enfield, then I'm going to throw myself out there. It's ours to lose.
And Kingstonian as well, I'd say. I'd add Kingstonian to that, because they're up around there.
That's gonna be, and they've just signed Walter Figueroa, and he's class, he's quality. Yeah. I think he's had some time.
But then we've got James Beresford, we've got Luke Robinson, Callum Keeley. Yeah, and just to end on a thing that we haven't touched on, because we were meant to sit down with another certain player, and Mr. Ollie Pierce, who eluded us again. Next month, Ollie, we're coming for you. We're coming for you. But 30 goals already, and he's still got, as we say, 15 plus games to go. We normally do a prediction at the end of each episode for the following month, but next month for games, next month's too tricky. I don't want to call next month, but should we do a prediction for the end of season? We can revisit this, of how many goals Oliver Pierce is going to score by the end of the season. Now, I'm going to start it off. I'm going to say 45. So that's averaging a goal a game for the next 15 plus whatever we got left. 45 goals.
That's ambitious.
Okay. What are you shouting then, Spencer?
Are you talking just league or all over?
because he's got 30. He's got 30 goals all over right now. We're still in a couple of cup competitions.
So he's got 27 in the league.
Yeah, so I'm saying 45 in total.
See, because we could end up with quite a few cup games still to add on.
All right. Well, you laughed at my prediction. What are you saying then, Spence?
But saying that, if you're going for 45 in all competitions, then that could be quite realistic because the velocity and the.
I'm not changing my mind, Peter.
If he plays.
If you go for 46 or 44, it's your prerogative.
I'm going to go 42.
Okay, 42. Another 12 goals. And if he scores a hat trick at the weekend, I'll be like, Peter.
And I'm not saying this just so I go right. I'm sort of like
46. Well done.
No, it's all the way along. I was going to say 41. So there you go, 41.
There you go, 41. So 11 more. So he'll get
40.
I feel confident. And what's the wager? Because we always buy a round anyway. I don't know. It's not us if we're short of drinks at Woodside. What's the wager? Pete being the mascot, wearing his Grafter t-shirt and some underpants at the last game of the season.
Thing is, we won't know till after the last game of the season.
That's true, yeah, because he'll probably end up scoring a hat-trick and we have the trophy. Yeah. We have to think of something. If anyone's listening has got any ideas, just do tweet us at Rebel Yo WFCSA, because I'm not talking dares, because no one wants to see me naked. I'm sure any others running around streaking. I'm sure
you'll be doing that voluntarily after the last game.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure most of the people will running on the pitch. Yeah.
Bottles of champagne.
Why not? Whoever has to, we have to buy a bottle of bubbles. That's it. There we go. All right, that's it, yeah. Bottle of bubbles or something like that. We'll have to go and we can share and we can toast it. I'm sure we'll be having more than bottles of bubbles if
only one of us can win that.
Yeah, but so we're the one that buys it, because obviously a bottle of
bottle of Asti.
Asti, yeah. But guys, it's great to get back on the mic with you lot, and a couple of months to toast, and you know, the double over Bognor, still top of the league as we speak with a game in hand, could be 5 points. A tough month coming up in February.
Here's to the next month.
But Callum Keeley signing, as we've got some exclusive news tonight, which is fantastic news. And once again, thank you for those that tune in to the live commentaries every week with Pete and myself sometimes, and Gary with his horses, and Spencer on the odd occasion, and Pete on his own. But also thank you to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning, Nature's Health Bot, for your continued support for the season. Oh yeah, and just to add that last thing, Mark Blessing from MK Window Cleaning has already renewed without even being asked for the following season. So the National League is going to sponsor us again. So thank you once again for MK Window Cleaning for having faith in us and, you know, supporting what we love doing. Thank you.
And we've got to thank DC Development Coaching for the last 3 months of the sponsorship for the dongle, which allows us to do the broadcasts.
Jason Price from Price Jones Electrical is going to sponsor for the next 3 months, so thank you. We do appreciate it. Obviously does a lot for the club anyway, but obviously we do appreciate your support. And if anyone else is looking at it, we've had a couple of likes. I know we've wound up, I think, Box Direct and one of the other electrical firms on the commentary, and they do like our thing. So if anyone does fancy sponsoring or putting in for it for next season, obviously over the summer we'll be looking, hopefully a promotion, we'll be looking for a more professional setup with the commentary and podcast, but those will be talked about when we get there. We won't jump ahead of ourselves yet. New commentators, cheeky. If you come and have a go, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, Spence.
On that note, switch him off.
I think we should. Good night, everyone.
And there's Gary's impression of a horse. Well done, Gary. Thank you for your input.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.